Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with my buddy John Couch, John engineering and producing the show. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Groundhog's Day. And it's felt like Groundhog's Day every day since COVID came upon us last St. Patrick's Day or right around there. Anyway, Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow. He always sees his shadow. It always means six more weeks of winter, and especially apropos today, as they were having this giant snowstorm, like several feet of snow in parts of the Northeast. We're in our 11th year here on the radio in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. Let's go now on the live line and talk with Terry Bracey, our Washington and governmental affairs contributor. Terry has had a unique role in representing Tucson's interest, beginning with a 10-year stint on the staff of famed Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry was then appointed to a sub-cabinet-level position by President Carter, subsequently served under four presidents of both parties. He's the founding partner of the respected public affairs firm Bracey Tucker Brown, which has worked on Tucson's behalf and brought some Tucson successes to our area, working in the nation's capital. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm fine. Thank you for that nice warm-up.
I got you all set up. Hey, we got the Super Bowl with us coming up on Sunday, and I'm going with the old guy. I'm pulling for Tom Brady.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the fun of the playoffs this year. I don't watch much football anymore, but I really enjoyed the playoffs. I mean, we're sort of stuck inside anyway.
Yep.
So I watched all the playoffs, enjoyed them, and I was amazed by the old guys. You know, Drew Brees is injured. He's got an injured throwing shoulder, and yet he was in there and did, I thought, very well. And then, of course, the master quarterback, Tom Brady, who's hard to like, but boy, you have to respect what he's done at age 45. He's still probably the first or second best quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
But no, I'll bet you a buck, and I'll take Kansas City.
Okay, and I'll take Brady and his Tampa Bay team. So we'll see how it all works out. We are seeing how initially, I think, it's going with President Biden, and I want to hear your assessment. How is it going?
Well, Bill, I think so far so good. That's my take. He's moving his key appointees through the Senate. If you're a supporter, you must be impressed with how quickly he's moved to change policies on, you know, climate change, immigration, electric autos, and so much more. I mean, across the board. He's also been able to establish, I think, Bill, pretty much who's boss without grabbing headlines every day. He's more like a traditional president, and I kind of, for one, appreciate reading the front page every day that doesn't have the president all over it.
So Terry, do you think there'll be some kind of a compromise on the COVID release plan, going very big, going huge, or going moderate, or somewhat smaller?
Well, you know, originally I would have said absolutely not. You'll just drive it through. And yet, today the word is out that the president was impressed with some of the arguments that the Republicans made who came to see him, and is discussing one of their key points, which is not the amount of the check, but who gets the check.
Mm.
The Republicans want, and it's a reasonable request. Under the Biden plan, an individual making $75,000 or a couple making $150,000 would get the check. And the Republicans think that's too high. I kind of agree with them, and I think there may be a compromise on that. But overall, the cost of the bill is going to stay way beyond any figure that the Republicans have proposed, and yet I'm pleased that they're meeting and they're talking. But I think in the end, it may take all the votes of the Democrats to kind of shove this through. It's $1.9 trillion at the point. At this point, it could go down. But the basic question, do I really think this thing's going to be compromised? No. I think it's going to be Biden's package. There'll be some trimming around the sides. I'm glad to see that he was happy to do that after talking with the Republican group.
So, Terry, you are our congressional expert. You've advised presidents. What would you do in this situation about what would you tell him to do concerning the package?
Well, Bill, this is a different time in Washington, and it isn't when the women and the men had great relationships. They got to know each other. John Rhodes and Mo Udall would play golf on weekends, things like that. But when you, in this era, these people don't have really good relationships at all. They're very shallow. So, my advice to the president would be go ahead and assemble your troops and win this fight. At whatever cost, win this fight. Because it's great if the Republicans will compromise, bring it down, 50 or 60 billion or whatever. But at the end of the day, you've got to win this. This is your COVID program. And that's the most important thing in the country. And you're the boss. And the funny thing about it, Bill, is in this kind of a Congress, compromise comes when someone has real power. Once that Biden shows that he has the whip hand, and he, of course, has very credible program that's been worked on for months by his very capable Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, and by experts in all kinds of fields, including experts on families, family finance, cities and states, hospitals, schools, and more. And they've all been together, and this is a well-thought-out program. So, yes, I would use the Democrats to get it through if he can't get any more compromise out of them, and I'd do it quickly. And I'd use a procedure that doesn't require 60 votes. It's complicated. I don't think you want me to explain it, but there is a procedure which would allow Biden to get his program through without a supermajority.
So I think the bottom line is you're saying the power would create compromise in the end. Is that what I'm hearing you say, Terry Bracey?
Yeah, it's a funny paradox. You don't think of brute power bringing compromise, and yet that's exactly what does bring compromise in this kind of a situation.
Terry, I'm quickly running out of time, but a big week next week. What is your take on impeachment?
Well, I think there are two factors that have sort of got me thinking. I guess the betting, of course, is that the Republicans will all vote not to do it, or most of them will. But the funny thing is, day by day, you're beginning to see a real split opening up in the Republican Party between the kind of new crowd, I guess Congresswoman Taylor and her conspiracy theories. It represents a surprising number of these new members. And only yesterday, Mitch McConnell, who says anything disagreeable about his party, he's the Senate Republican leader, Mitch McConnell spoke out yesterday and called these loony lies and conspiracy stupidity, and that it was going to ruin the Republican Party. And you can just see, this rift. And I don't know. And so that's one factor that makes this thing a little bit fluid. The second thing is that Trump, last few days, fired all his lawyers because they would not argue what he wanted them to, which they viewed as a lie. They wanted to argue that this was unconstitutional to impeach someone after they're out of office. But he wanted them. He did not. He fired them. And he got two other lawyers, probably won't get paid, but he's got two other lawyers, and they're going to, I guess they've agreed to argue that the election was stolen. And that notwithstanding all the testimony of all the Republican secretaries of state and governors and everybody else, it was a corrupt election, it was stolen, and therefore he's not guilty of whatever. I don't know. I can't figure him out.
I'm out of time, but as far as the Congresswoman from Georgia, Green, Congresswoman Green, you think that the faster the Republicans can isolate her, the better for them?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, but I think they're going to have a hard time doing it because they have scores of people in their caucus now who agree with her. Maybe not everything, but a lot of those conspiracy things. And they're loony, but they've gotten traction.
All right, Terry, I'm out of time. Chances for success, very limited as far as the impeachment.
Right. Limited, but not impossible.
All right, Terry Bracey, always a pleasure. Thank you, Terry. Stay safe. Thanks.
You too, Bill. Bye.
All right, the Buckmaster Show, our favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's has so many beautiful pastries. Lately, I'm very much into the cinnamon rolls and have been finding myself thinking about them a lot lately. Mona's is open right now for lunch, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. They're on the web at monasdanishbakery.com. Go to their website, all the information about their phone number, and you can call in your order or come by northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Shelley is up next, and Shelley's giving me two thumbs up. It is a very good day on the street. We'll be right back.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined. Cause without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com. Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks. a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Shelly Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelly through buckmastershow.com or at shellyfishman.com.
And here he is, the man, Shelly Fishman. Hey, Shelly, how are you?
I am well, Bill. You today?
I'm doing very well, and the market's looking real good. Is this meaning that maybe the GameStop mania is petering out?
Seems to be normalizing so that the market is coming back to pretty much where it was at the beginning of last week. You know, when we had, I think, one or two days where the market peaked over 31,000 on the Dow Industrial Average, and we're getting close there now. We're about 30,750. So we're making up for those losses, and I think what's maybe three things are kind of affecting what's going on right now. One, as you and Terry were discussing, there seems to be some optimism that there is going to be a substantial stimulus package
pretty
that will get through.
Pretty big package. Offing, yeah.
The Congressional Budget Office, I think it was this morning, came out and said, you know, as we say in Brooklyn, irregardless, nevertheless, of that stimulus package.
Did you say that a lot when you were growing
up? Never did.
In Brooklyn.
But a lot of
no.
people did. I mean, you know, irregardless.
I know.
At any rate, the Congressional Budget Office.
Was that your home borough, by the way?
No. It is.
Yes,
Brooklyn.
I know.
All right.
Sorry.
Okay, I admit
you.
Guilty
okay.
as charged.
All right, go ahead.
Anyway, what they're saying is the economy is likely to grow at around 3.5% this year, regardless of whether there's a stimulus package or not. Now, the stimulus package will determine to a very great extent how the population in general shares in that growth, because without a stimulus package, that growth will continue to go to the very top of wage earners and those people who have kind of reaped the benefits for the past 40 years. A stimulus package could help share that wealth a little bit. But the outlook for the year, even though 3.5% just about is the same as what we wound up losing last year, but you know, when you come down from a high number and then come up from a low number, it still doesn't bring us to where we were. But
2020 was the worst year for economic growth since the end of World War II.
It was. It was about as bad as it gets.
Yeah.
The last quarter of the year showed some strength. We grew by about 1% in the last quarter. So technically speaking, we're not in a recession anymore because we are growing. But if you do a year-over-year comparison and take a look at the actual size of the GDP, not the GDP growth, it'll take us till 2022 to get to where we were at the beginning of 2020.
The battle lines, though, will be drawn after the pandemic, which hopefully will be behind us in a matter of months. What will they center around, Shelly Fishman?
Well, what we're going to see is panic on the part of Republicans about the deficit, because we had, what, a $3 trillion deficit in 2020. We're probably going to have a $5 trillion deficit in 2021, and everybody knows that's going to cause tremendous spikes in inflation, and we're mortgaging our children's and grandchildren's futures. Now, The Republicans,
that sounds like something we've heard before.
We've heard it before. The Republicans didn't seem to care about the, you know, $10 trillion or the $1 trillion effects of the tax cuts. But let's put hypocrisy aside. It is not settled physics. How badly you can run deficits before the economy begins to feel deleterious results as a result of those deficits. So, you know, you can't print money indefinitely and expect that there won't be some negative effects.
Inflation.
Inflation is one of the expectations, but there's also the idea that even without gross inflation, even if interest rates revert to their normal status, let's say instead of, you know, 0% or 1%, they go to 3%. Mm-hmm. When you start paying back some of that debt, because remember, this debt is not long-term debt, it's short and medium-term debt. When those notes have to be reissued by the Treasury, they're going to be reissued at somewhat higher rates. And so at some point, somebody's either going to have to pay the bill or make the decision that the only way we can pay these bills is by printing money.
If it goes to even 2 or 3%, everybody might be freaking out. Oh, my goodness, inflation is back. But as you just said a moment ago, that's a normal kind of place for inflation.
Exactly.
And we have not been in a normal place.
Not for 20 years. So what we're going to see is the people who are deficit hawks are going to start talking about where do we get the money to reduce the deficits. And you know where they always go. They go to the entitlement programs. And they, you know, they go right to Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare, and they say, you know, oh my God, the sky is falling. We've got to cut those programs. And that, I believe, is where this fight is going to come down. Now, between you and me, nobody who is listening to this program can repeat this. But between you and me, Bill, those two programs, or three programs, if you, you know, separate Medicare and Medicaid, those programs need to be revised because they are not paying their own way.
That's true.
We know that Social Security is going to be unable to meet its obligations probably in the 2027 to 2030 year.
The meter is running. We've been hearing this for a long time
and it's
on
true.
Social Security.
Social Security,
and,
but worse on Medicare.
Uh-huh.
And what we know is the current administration is looking not to cut Medicare, but to increase it. So we've got to find ways of enhancing those funds that pay for those programs. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And you probably want to chat with Terry Bracey about this. But I think what you're going to see is some gradual increase in the retirement year, the full retirement age for Social Security. And we'll probably see some raise in the amount of income you have to earn before Social Security payments drop off.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen some proposals for letting them drop off about where they are now, about $145,000, and then kicking in again at $400,000. I mean, there's any number of ways that are relatively painless for paying for this. Medicare is harder. With Medicare, you're going to have to raise taxes. Somebody is going to have to pay this bill. And there are just a lot of bills that have to be paid. There's all these deficits. There's Medicare and Medicaid. There's more stimulus coming that theoretically has to be paid back. That has to come from somewhere. And again, you can print some money. But you're also going to see increases in taxation in several areas. That is a battle that is, you know, in a 50-50 Senate. That is a very tough battle to have. And that's where the fights are going to be certainly in the second term of the Biden, not the second term, but the second year of this Biden term.
Because when you combine how much this new stimulus with the 2020 stimulus, you're talking a huge number.
You're talking a number that's a quarter of the gross domestic product. You're talking about a $5 or $6 trillion deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, modern economic thinking is unsure about whether that's a problem or not. Mm-hmm. We don't know how big the deficit has to get before the economy has no way of absorbing it. But we know that there is some limit. There is a theoretical limit. And we know that the people who are proposing a lot of these programs are proposing to increase taxes in several areas to begin to pay for, you know, to pay that bill. So that's where the fights are going to be once we get the COVID pandemic past us.
All right, Shelley Fishman, again, it's been a very good day on the market, maybe some of the reducing the effects of what they kind of call the Robin Hood attacks.
Yeah, we need to see some self-regulation out of the markets. This can't be allowed to happen unchecked. On the other hand, these are free markets. I mean, these are markets that have the right to kind of allow lots of people
in. But you think some regulation will be coming?
I think we'll see some self-regulation.
Okay, Shelley. Shelley Fishman in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Shelley, I hope you have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thank you very much, Buckmaster. Continuing on our Tuesday edition, Dr. Ray Woosley with our Your Meds segment is coming up. And prescription prices, wow, way off the charts again. The price going way up. Be right back.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Boy, the garden is looking so much better after that little bit of rain and snow mixed with rain that we had. Really just what we needed, kind of a prolonged couple of day event. But Green Things is the place to go now that we've got the moisture. You're probably thinking, be nice to have some color in the backyard and start spring planting. Well, 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more is awaiting you at 3384 East River Road. GreenThingsAZ.com is their website. 50 years and still growing. Well, now I have to say 51 years. They've already got a half century under their belt, so now they are ready to plow into the next second half century. And Zocalo Village, don't forget their website, ZocaloVillage.com, for all the amazing handcrafted furniture from Latin America and a lot of beautiful Talavera pottery, open daily, Green Things. Let's welcome now the Buckmaster Show contributor on what we call Your Meds. Dr. Ray Woosley is with us. Dr. Ray Woosley, the creator of CredibleMeds.com. Dr. Woosley is the founder emeritus of CPATH, which has been an outstanding success in bringing prescription drugs to the market in a more efficient and safe manner. And of course, Dr. Woosley is the former dean of the College of Medicine at the University of Arizona. Dr. Woosley, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. It's good to be with you. Happy Groundhog Week.
Yeah, I was saying at the beginning of the show, Dr. Woosley, that I think Punxsutawney Phil always sees his shadow and predicts six more weeks of winter. I can't recall a time when he didn't see it, so there you go.
I think he's got a record consistent with Tom Brady.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, we're off to the new year here, and the cost of prescription drugs has really been skyrocketing. Maybe we got spoiled or something, Dr. Woosley. The trend for lower prices was over the last 3 years, we were seeing that. But what's going on now? Why are prices increasing?
Well, you know, it was funny. The Trump administration threatened to attack the drug companies and their pricing structure and talked a lot. And the companies sort of laid low. They didn't want to increase their prices and make it look like they were part of the problem. But as soon as the Biden administration came in, the drug companies realized that, well, it's a new gang in town. Maybe I can get away with it. And the prices have just skyrocketed. And it's always been a problem. Even though it was trending down, it was still a serious problem. And, you know, it affects every one of us. It's not just the cost for government. But the average American takes 12 prescription drugs every year, and the average person over 65 takes 17 prescription drugs.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, you know, about 3 out of 10 Americans report that because of the high cost, they have to skip doses, they skip taking medicine altogether, or they delay refills. So they're not getting all the medicines they're supposed to get in many cases. And many of us don't have a drug plan, an insurance company that pays for the drugs. So it can cost hundreds of dollars for regular medicines for regular people.
And, you know, we keep hearing, well, it's because of the high cost of doing research. But look at all the money that the pharmaceuticals spend on sales and marketing.
Exactly. I mean, we believe that the cost of medicines, there's several myths about drugs and medicines, and most of them come from the marketing. The drug companies tell us how difficult it is to discover drugs, but the NIH discovers most drugs. The drug companies develop the products, but the research that generates new drugs comes from the NIH's $30 billion a year that they spend on basic research. And then, you know, except for Roche, which is based here in town, all the major drug companies spend more on sales and marketing than they do research. It's you know, the average drug company spends $24 billion marketing for doctors to sell drugs that are supposed to be breakthroughs. If they're so good, why is it so hard to, so expensive to sell them?
Let's see if we can go through some of these myths, because they're really all over the place. Competition brings drug prices down. False?
Yeah, because you, when you, your doctor prescribes a medicine, they decide which one you get, not you. You can't go out and shop it. You have to take the medicine that was prescribed by a doctor who didn't pay for it.
And then generic drugs, are they cheaper?
Well, they should be, but they aren't, because the industry has this relationship where they have to, the government, which is the biggest payer, and you know, for Medicare and Medicaid, pays for most drugs, and they don't have to negotiate a lower price. So generic drugs should be cheap, but the companies just charge what traffic will bear. And you know, there was a big hue and cry because one company bought the medicine that we use for Valley Fever, and the cost of that generic drug that's been around for 50 years went from $30 a month to $500 a month.
And that drug has been around, it was mainly an antifungal drug.
Exactly, fluconazole or Flucon,
yeah,
for Valley Fever. And, I mean, it's used for lots of other things, but around here, it's life-saving for Valley Fever, and the cost just skyrocketed.
How about Medicare providing cheap medicine for seniors? Is that false?
That is, because, I mean, when you're a Medicare patient, you may have a low copay. You may get your prescription filled for $4 at Walmart or some of the bigger stores. But somebody pays for that, and it's our taxes that paid the rest for that drug. And you and Shelley were talking about the cost of Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
Medicare costs are skyrocketing because when Congress created the drug benefit bill, the drug companies lobbied, and they got into the bill the fact that the drug companies don't have to, I mean, Medicare can't negotiate the price. They have to pay whatever the drug companies ask. And that's in the law. And the Biden administration is threatening to take it out and going to try to take it out. And I think that will be the first step toward competitive pricing for medicines.
Then there's this thing about the total health care costs, where drug costs fit in.
Yeah. The drug companies say, well, it's only 9% of the total health care cost.
Yeah, but look at the total. What is that total health care cost? It's astronomical.
My analogy is, it's like saying my fancy sports car is inexpensive because it costs less than a battleship. Well, we spend $400 billion a year on prescription drugs. And it's a huge part of the healthcare cost. It's about $1,200 per person, man, woman, and child every year. So it is a lot of money, and we need to find ways to get those costs under control.
All right.
And it's not, but that we, the fear is we'd get fewer medicines, but I think we'd get fewer marketing.
All right, Dr. Woosley, some important questions, and this only will take a few seconds, but it's very important what you ask your doctor about a medicine.
Yes. When you get a prescription, ask the doctor, is this the only way to treat this? Do I have to take a medicine, or is there ways I can change my life to control my blood pressure or my anxiety? Also, ask for the generic form of the medicine if you really need one, because buying the brand name nowadays is very expensive. And by getting a generic drug, which are proven and tested to be safe and equivalent, can save you tons of money. And also ask, does this medicine interact with something else I'm taking? Should I stop taking something else because it could hurt me? And that really drives up your healthcare costs when you get injured by the medicines you take.
And that's where crediblemeds.org comes in, about medicines and reactions. Tell our listeners quickly about that.
Crediblemeds.org is where we put the information about drug interactions and drugs in general
that can harm you. And spend some time there. We provide tools that will help you manage your medications, give you a list of questions to ask your pharmacist or your doctor about the medicines you're taking. So be smart, get educated on your medicine so that you can negotiate the best outcome from your therapy.
All right, Dr. Ray Woosley, thank you very much. We'll check out crediblemeds.org for more information. Thanks. Stay safe. Thanks.
You too, Bill.
All right. Dr. Ray Woosley, the former Dean of the College of Medicine at the University of Arizona. Suzanne Drube is coming up next. She is the Pima County Assessor. We'll talk about how her first month or so has gone in office right after this.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appear on our live line courtesy of Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We're all counting the days when some of these, like New Mexico, has just not been welcoming out-of-state visitors because of COVID. Well, hopefully that day will be coming. We can pile in the car and take a three-hour drive to a beautiful area east of Tucson, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Lots to do over there, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and some really beautiful places in the area. For more things to do and places to stay, how about checking out southwestnewmexico.org? Let's go now on the live line to Suzanne Drube. Suzanne was elected in November in Pima County and assumed the position of Pima County Assessor about 30 days ago, about a month ago. She has been in office as the Pima County new assessor. Suzanne, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. How is the job going? You know, assessor is one of those positions that's kind of has flown under the radar screen. Are you going to try to make this a more transparent office and put some visibility in here so people really know what the assessor does?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do. Never again do I ever want anybody to look at me and say, so what exactly is the assessor? So I am taking positive steps forward to make sure that everybody knows what we do and how important it is and the impact that we actually have in their day-to-day life. We are currently doing a lot with outreach right now. That was the first thing I started when I got in here because it's so very important. We've been out at the libraries, meeting with taxpayers, talking about exemptions, helping sign people up that qualify for exemptions, getting that off the ground. Notices are going out soon. They will probably be mailed towards the end of February. So there'll be a schedule up on our website. We'll also be at the libraries talking about notices, helping explain values to people. So we're doing a lot as far as outreach goes, getting out into the community, and we are really excited about that.
Suzanne, people are very confused about these assessment notices that go out. When I get one, I think, well, okay, you valued my home at X amount of dollars, but Suzanne, I know it's worth a lot more on the market. What is an assessment of value of a property?
When you're talking an assessment, it's a lot different than an actual appraisal. When you go to sell your house or you buy a house, you pay for a fee appraisal, and that deals just directly with that one individual property that you're looking to purchase or sell. And that's typically done at 100% of the market. Assessment is done on a mass appraisal basis, where we take all of the sales across Pima County for that one particular property type, and we create from that a range. And that range has a margin of error applied to it. And so typically that value in an assessment arena is going to be at about 80% of what it would sell for on the open market. So when you look at it, you got to understand that it's probably about 20% on average below what the typical market would be for that property.
And that would be used to set your taxes?
Well, that sets your market value, or what we call your full cash value. From there, what we do is, if it's a brand new property on the roll, is we set what is called the limited property value. And that is a percentage of the full cash value. And that is what your taxes are based on. So for instance, right now, if it was a brand new residential property that just came onto the roll, we would value that at, again, that right around the 80% of what all of the properties like that are selling for. And then we look at the limited value of all the established properties and set your limited value to match that. So if across the county, if the limiteds are typically at about 90% of the full cash value, we're going to put that new property on at about 90% also. All of your taxes are based on that limited property value. And once it's set the first time, it can only increase 5% every year after that until it reaches the level of the full cash value, and it can never go beyond that or above that.
How about people who are not happy with the assessment? What is their recourse, Suzanne Druby?
We have an appeals process in Arizona that is free to the taxpayers. So if you are not happy with your value or don't understand your value, what I would like to see people do is call the assessor's office or go to the website, see where we're going to be based on that library schedule out in the community. Come see us, sit down and talk to us about your value. If after we've explained it to you, you feel like you need to file an appeal, and again, that's a free process, we will walk you through filling out the paperwork. And then what happens is we take a more in-depth look at your property value. You bring us some comparables or like properties that are valued lower than yours, or prove that it should be lower. We sit down at what we call an A-level meeting, and we talk about those values and what you've brought in and what we have, and we try to reach agreement's not the right word, but what we do is we look at all of the evidence, and based on that evidence, we decide if the property value should be lowered. If we believe that it should be lowered, then it gets done at that point. If we, after showing up, looking at all the evidence, we decide that it should stay where it's at, then the taxpayer has the ability to go to the second level of appeal, which is still free to the taxpayer, and that's the State Board of Equalization. And again, we will walk them through the process of filing that second appeal, and then they will take all of their evidence. We will take all of our evidence before a panel of three people, which is called the State Board of Equalization, and they look at all of the evidence, and then they make the decision as to where that value should be. Beyond that, they still have the ability to go forward again to another step if they don't like that answer, but that's tax court, and that there is a fee for that. If your property is under $2 million, it's right around a filing fee of $165. You don't need an attorney. If it's above that, you would need to have an attorney, and the filing fee is about $350.
But you're going to be real big on consumer and customer service, and how do people get a hold of you?
Yes. They can go to the website to find our number, and they can call. And yes, I have a customer service department, and we also, any appraiser will talk to any taxpayer at any time, and they can always get a hold of me too. I'm on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. If they go to the Facebook page and they leave a message or post on that they need somebody to call them, we will be monitoring that page to get a hold of people. The most important thing to me is that everybody understands why their value is what it is, what that means to them, and that they feel comfortable and understand that we do not hold anything against anybody, the government at all, for filing that appeal. We want everybody to take advantage of it. At the end of the day, we just want the value to be correct.
All right. In the remaining minute, quickly, there is a discount program you just instituted or are instituting. And that is for widows and fully disabled people. Is that correct on their assessment?
Yes. There is a widower's exemption. And there is also a exemption for vets based on the level of disability. Yes, and there is also legislation currently in office now too on that, both of those exemptions. The widower's exemption won't see much of a change, but they're trying to improve the exemption for the veterans.
So go ahead.
I was just going to say, make sure that if you have any questions on that, so please call the office and talk to us.
Okay, and you can just Google Pima County Assessor, and that will probably get you to you as well. Suzanne Druby, right?
Yes.
Thank you very much, and sounds like you're very much settling into the job and doing some good things there with transparency in the Pima County Assessor's Office. Suzanne, good to talk with you. Thank you.
It's nice talking to you, too, as always. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks a lot. Suzanne Druby is the Pima County Assessor, been in the job about a month. She was elected in November. I'm Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of my engineer producer, John Couch, we thank you very much for listening over the past hour. And Dave Ramsey's very popular show about money and ways to handle it in a better way. That's coming up next. Have a great afternoon.